Blog Talk Radio.
We are the Borg. Lower your shield and surrender your ships. We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service us. Resistance.
Hey, welcome to Block Talk Radio and Trek Talk, and I'm Jim, and my co-host Dan is on the line, and we got a great show planned for you guys here tonight. We have a lot to cover in a short amount of time, so we're going to jump right in and dispense with the pleasantries. First of all, I want to say that the winner of the Ferengi Marauder was Ian Martin. That's right, Ian Martin, you're our lucky winner, so shoot me your address on our Fakebus page, and I'll also post your name on the page. So if you're not listening to the show, you can get in touch with me that way. Another thing I wanted to talk about before we get started was we're going to be doing the USS Sutherland as our ship for next week. You asked for it. You got it. And we have Dan to thank for that. So I'm going to let Dan do a little promo for a second here, and then we'll get right back at it. Shoot, Dan.
Well, we got assistance from... Rockheads out of Kenosha, and that'd be www.rockheads.com. They support all types of board games, Star Trek and X-Wing, and a large amount of comic books. So if you're looking for any of those things and can't find it locally, log in to Rockheads, and he'll help you find it.
Thanks a lot, Dan. I also have their link posted on our Facebook page. I'll post that link each and every week. So if you have any needs for gaming or comic books, check them out. They're a great bunch of guys, and they've helped us out a lot, too. With that in mind, I wanted to mention that we've had a lot of interest in the Sutherland, so it looks like we may be going to a full two-hour show maybe within the next 2 or 3 weeks. It's going to be relatively soon, so I'll keep you guys abreast on that. If we go to a two-hour show, that will give us a lot more time. We can cover more topics, and we won't be in such a rush. I believe that's all the information we have to get out of the way, so let's jump right into it. The first topic I wanted to talk about, which was unplanned, but I'm so excited about it I decided to jump it to the front of the show, was Prelude to Axanar. Now, I've been posting on the Facebook page about this quite a lot. I've been kind of excited about it, actually. This is a fan-produced film, Star Trek film, with Garth from Izar, which is a character from the original Star Trek series. It's produced by fans. They have a Kickstarter where they were looking for money to raise to produce this. What I like about it, if you haven't seen it, it's posted on our Facebook page right now. Prelude to Axanar is just a little background on the story so people that aren't aware of it can be brought up to speed. What I really like about it is these guys were Star Trek fans, and it really shows in the production quality because they hired real actors to do this. One of the actors is Gary Graham, who played Vulcan Ambassador, it's either Slovak or Sovak, on Star Trek Enterprise. He reprises his role in Star Trek Axanar, which is great because it ties Axanar to Enterprise. Another great thing that they did is they hired Tony Todd, who played Kern on Star Trek The Next Generation. That's Worf's brother, for those of you who may not know that. He's the new ambassador, president of the Federation. They have Richard Hatch.
Nope, Richard Hatch.
Who played Lieutenant or Captain Apollo on the original Battlestar Galactica, and he plays the Klingon Chancellor, what's his name, Karn, I think his
yep,
name is?
Commander Karn.
Commander Karn. And one of the things that I noticed when I watched this trailer, which I thought was another great thing, is the Federation ships don't have phaser banks. They have these little phasers that pop out of the top, just like they did in on the Kelvin in the 2009 Star Trek reboot, which I thought was a nice touch. And when the Federation ambassador is giving his lecture about going to war with the Klingons, he's in Archer Hall. And for those of you who may not know Archer Hall, that's the place where Captain Archer gives his speech to form the Federation in the last episode of Star Trek Enterprise. So there's a lot going on in there. This is about a 20-minute, 18-minute film, and it's done like a documentary. There is some actual footage. You see some Klingon D6 battle cruisers, the new Ares Federation cruiser. You see Space Station K-7. You see a little bit here and there, but it's mostly done like a documentary with interviews with the commanders and things of that nature. But if you haven't checked it out, please do. You will not be disappointed. Dan, did you get a chance to check that out at all?
I was not able to as of yet. I have it on my screen right now. And for my Seas of Special Effects, they did a good job on the ship. It's very tactile. I can see, like, where torpedoes come out, and it's burnt like you would expect of, like, a hot plasma or a hot, you know, device would come out. It's pretty impressive. And I notice it has J.G. Hertzler, who, those of you who watch Deep Space Nine, is Martok.
Oh, I missed that. I didn't catch him in there.
Yep.
Where, who does he play?
He plays Captain Samuel Travis.
Oh, yes. When I was watching that, I kept looking at him thinking, I know that guy and I recognize his voice, but I didn't recognize him without the Klingon makeup. But you're right.
Yep.
So check that out, guys. If you haven't seen it, check it out. We could do a whole show on Axanar, but we just don't have the time. We only have a half an hour, so I wanted to throw that out there. Check it out. When the actual movie comes out, I think it's going to be outstanding. I think it's going to be really, really good. So check that out.
It'll definitely add to the Star Trek mystique and give us a little bit of a background story.
Well, you know, Dan, one of the things I really like about this particular, there's a lot of fan stuff out there, and some of it's better than others. But the one thing about the majority of the fan stuff that's out there is they just want to recreate Kirk and Spock and McCoy, and that's fine. But this particular story is an addition to the existing Star Trek mythos, and it's a chance for us to see something that we never saw before, and that's the 4 years' war with the Klingons. And from what I've seen, they're doing a really good job. The Klingon D6 battlecruisers look outstanding. We do get to see a brief glimpse of the new D7 battlecruiser and the Constitution class being built, but I think they're saving that big reveal for the actual movie. And, of course, Garth of Izar, you know, he's Captain Kirk's idol, if you remember that episode of TOS. So
yes.
I think this is going to be really good. So
I'm
check it out if
it.
You have. Let's see. Another thing I wanted to talk about briefly, and I'm just running out of time here, was the Deep Space Nine cards from Gen Con. Now, we touched on it last week, but I think we ran out of time. I've got the cards up on my screen here. We're going to try like hell to see if we can get a set of these. And rather than giving the entire set away to one person, I think what I want to do is I'm going to break it up and we'll just have someone call in and you get a card. And that way we can get these cards out to, you know, 9 lucky people. I think that's what we're going to do if I can get my hands on a set, no promises. But anyways, let's talk about these cards briefly. Let's see, we can give it about 8 minutes to talk about these cards. So why don't we start with Benjamin Sisko? What does Benjamin Sisko do here? Do you have the cards up on your screen?
Yep. It says, during the roll defense dice step of combat phase, if your ship is in the forward firing arc of two or more ships, roll one extra defense die against all ships from the or all attacks from these ships. So it looks like it's a Captain 7 with an elite. But for 4 points, looks like it boosts up your defense, which on a smaller ship is a big advantage.
Now, that would be a good card to have on the Deep Space Nine as well, if you have more... because Deep Space Nine doesn't have a forward firing arc.
No.
So that wouldn't help on Deep Space Nine, but that's a really good card for Federation players.
Well, and there's also there's also a second half. It says, each time your ship receives damage, normal or critical, increase your captain's skill by +1 for the rest of the game, of a max of 2. So that means taking on damage puts him at a level 9.
Yes, and if you put the Fleet Admiral card on him, you can boost him up to an 11.
Yep.
Wow. Wow. Now, how about a Garrick? I believe there's a Garrick card in there as well, isn't there?
Yep. It's during the modified defense step of the combat phase. You may disable this card to add 1 evade result to your defense roll. You do not pay a faction penalty when assigning Elam Garrick or his upgrade to your ship. So it's a universal.
And that would make sense because that Garrick's character on Deep Space Nine was kind of, you know, universal.
Yeah, we played both sides a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a good card. What else is in there? Let me see. Bashir, I think, is in there.
His is an action. It says, move a disabled upgrade token from one of your disabled crew or mechanical upgrades to one of your non-disabled mechanical or crew upgrades. You may then immediately perform the action, if any, listed on the upgrade that you moved as a free action.
Now, that definitely has its uses.
Oh, yes. You figure you can definitely use it for a couple of the disable cards for your Federation crew that gives you, like, extra scans or whatever. So you can double up on a couple of things, probably.
Or even Scotty for repairing shields,
yep.
I believe, as well. So that so far, these cards are all outstanding. Now we'll get to the one that I'm most interested in. That's Quark. What do we know about Quark?
It says at the start of the game, place 1 non-Borg upgrade, either mechanical or weapon upgrade, with a cost of 5 or less face down beneath this card. At any time, you may discard Quark to flip that upgrade, or flip the upgrade that is beneath this card face up. So that means it even exceeds your ship's restrictions. So that means you can put on, like, quantum torpedoes for free. Oh, wait. A 5 or less. You can't do quantum torpedoes. My bad. So you can put on secondary torpedoes or something like that and use it as a spring trap.
Yeah, and he's also a Ferengi card as well, which is really, it's one of the first Ferengi cards we've had.
Right, other than the Marauder. Now, penalty boost.
That gives
penalty.
Ferengi players a chance to add something to their crew.
And the thing is, it's all any race. It says place 1 non-Borg. So other than Borg, you can put any race on there you want.
That's right. And you don't pay a penalty. By reading the card.
It doesn't look like you pay anything. You don't pay any points on it. It's just sticking underneath it.
Right,
so
you're getting 5 points for Quark, and you can put a 5-point card under him.
Correct.
That is awesome. How about Odo?
Action. Target a ship at range 1 to 3, even if that ship is cloaked or has an active shield. Disable this card and 1 upgrade of that target ship. If the upgrade you disable is a crew upgrade, you may then use the upgrade's action, if any, as a free action this round. So you basically can steal special actions from other ships.
Yes. Now that definitely has its uses as well. And Odo is an independent card, I believe.
Yes, he is.
So that's a useful card. And I think they have the holographic guy. What's his
Vic
name?
Fontaine.
They're the singing dude. Yeah.
This upgrade counts as either crew or mechanical upgrade, just like the Doctor, EMH. If an enemy upgrade would affect one of your crew upgrades, roll 2 defense die. If you roll at least 1 evade result, ignore the effects of the enemy upgrade. You do not pay a faction penalty when deploying this on the Federation ship. So in other words, you can basically avoid assassins.
And he is, now what is he? Is he, what faction is he, Federation?
It shows independent three points, but it does say that there is no faction penalty to put on Federation.
Wow. So far, these cards are pretty good. There's a Klingon. The car in there as well, right?
Yes. He's listed as action. If your ship is not cloaked, disable all your remaining shields and target a ship at range 1-2 that is not cloaked and has no active shields. Discard this card and one crew upgrade of your choice from the target ship. Then disable the captain card and all remaining crew upgrades on that target ship. And then your captain becomes skill 1. So basically he removes all personnel aboard the ship. Well, he kills one. He removes one from play and then disables the functionality of all the rest of them, which basically means your ship turns into a flying target until you can undisable them.
Wow. Wow, that's quite the card, too.
It is listed as Klingon. Yep, it's Klingon 5, so that means faction penalty for Federation or anything but Klingon. I do notice that it looks like every major faction is getting a card.
Yes, because the next and last one we have is a Romulan T'Rule.
Yep. She was the Romulan commander that came aboard when the Defiant got its cloak. She was a Romulan representative. It says that add one mechanical upgrade slot to your upgrade bar, so you get an extra mechanical. While your ship is cloaked during the roll defense die step of combat phase, you may choose to roll 3 less defense die and add 1 evade result to your defense roll. So you can get a guaranteed evade at the cost of 3 dice. If the cloaking device upgrade card is deployed to Roll's ship, you do not need to disable that card when you perform the action listed on it. So in other words, you put this on the Defiant, you don't have to disable the card to cloak.
Yes, and that really helps the Defiant out a lot.
Oh, it puts it on par with Romulan Klingons.
Now, before we get going here, we have a couple of people in our chat room I'd like to shout out to. We have Trace Peterson, who's been with us for quite a while. I think this might be the first time he's bopped into our chat room, but he's here, and Delta Angelfire, who's been with us, I believe, from day one or pretty close to it, and he does the State of the Federation videos, which you can check out on YouTube. I post them on our Facebook page when I can find them, so go over there and check out his videos. Give him a shout out if you get a chance. So we're out of time on that. I hate being rushed like this. We have 12 minutes left, so... The other thing I wanted to talk about was the new Borg scout ship is out, the preview. Have you had a chance to look at that, Dan?
Yep, sure have. In fact, it was a Raven I posted to you. So, yeah, I got it right here on my screen.
And what do you find out about that? What do you think?
Well, when it comes down to a Borg ship, I know it's supposed to be the smallest. It is a little squishy, but reading through the cards and the abilities, it may be a little squishy, but it is pretty formidable for a ship of its size.
Now, what do you think is one of the best cards in there? What do you think the card is most people are going to be looking for?
I do like the captain. It's Hugh, but before he was Hugh, he was 3rd of 5. You're looking at a Borg cube with an evade. Can have an evade up to 5 on top of you're able to regenerate your drones, of course. So if you're not careful, you're looking at a Borg cube with an evade of 5 and a magnetic guided charge that goes right through your shields. Or is that, yeah, no, hold on. Yeah, because you get the return fire with that one.
Wow. Wow. Now, Hugh, a 3rd of 5, is he Borg or is he independent?
No, 3rd of 5 is Borg. He's listed as a Borg character.
So are all the cards in that set listed as Borg as well?
Yes, there is no independence. Everyone on here is Borg.
Interesting.
Something else I didn't notice is that you get 2 captains with this, and one of them is a Captain 1, but he's not a General Captain 1. he's actually got abilities.
Abilities? Like what?
Yep, he's attacked. At the start of the game, place two drone tokens on this card. Each time you defend during the roll defense dice step of the combat phase, you may spend one drone token to roll one attack die. A hit or a crit result damages the attacking ship as normal. The attacking ship does not roll any defense dice against this.
Wow.
Yep, and it's a one-point drone captain.
Wow, they're really juicing up the Borg.
Oh, yeah, his base stats are, a little squishy, but the cards you're getting in it are pretty phenomenal.
Now, we're down to 8 minutes left. God, I hate this half hour. It's such a rush. So I wanted to talk about the USS Raven real quick before we run out of time. Do you have those cards up available?
Yes, I do right here. I got it up right here.
I know you sent them to me, but I have my computer up. I'm checking out the chat room while we're talking, so I don't have my screen up.
Well, for the Raven, it has minimal combat capability. The cards that are important are the multi-adaptive shields are pretty nice. This upgrade only functions while you have active shields, and it basically stacks damage underneath it, which is pretty awesome, so gives your shield a couple more hit points. And then you have a reinforced structural integrity, which are another type of damage absorber. So those two cards alone will push other Federation ships, because they are Federation, they're not independent like the rest of them are. It definitely will increase the ability of your ships. I would say it's probably one of the second and third Borg counter card put out right now?
Yes.
Yeah. The ship itself is, I mean, you don't have any secondary weapons unless you put Torres on there, and then you have to put a good captain on there because you don't get a target lock with the card. All you get is an evade and a scan. But if you got a couple cheap points or a couple points to put in there, and you want to get somebody with fighter ability, basically, I would say you would harass it like a fighter. Use it as a fighter to harass people.
Yeah, I think this card, this ship sounds like one people are going to be interested in just for the cards. I believe it's the OP prize ship for next month, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah, so this one looks like it might be one that people are going to be interested in just for the cards. And we're down to 5 minutes, Dan. Can you believe that?
Goes quick.
Wow.
I need a quick correction. I got it in small print, so I misinterpreted this reinforced structural integrity. That's your damage absorber. Your multi-adaptive shields give you more defense die. I correct myself. It's in small print. My eyes are old.
Now, I just wanted to throw out before we go that I mentioned it before, but I want to mention it again, that the winner of the Ferengi Marauder is Ian Martin. So shoot me your address on the Facebook page. I'll post your name there as well if you're not listening. We're going to be doing the raffle for the USS Sutherland next week, and that includes all the OP stuff that goes along with it, the attack dice, the command bar, the whole enchilada. It's not just for the ship. The proceeds for these auctions are going to go to help Dan and I upgrade the show to a full 2 hours rather than this half-hour stuff. We'll also move back to our regular time. We can do up to 2 hours every night if we want to. So we could do a show just on the Axanar. Maybe we could have Delta Angel Fire come on and do a little bit about the state of the Federation. You know, I want to try to get the Star Trek Attack Wing community involved, so I'd like to try to do that. But first we got to come up with some funding, and that's what I'm doing with these auctions. I'm trying to come up with some money to fund this thing, which we're not having much of a problem with so far. So as long as it continues, we should have no problem. And, Dan, do you have anything you want to say before we run out of time?
I'm looking forward to getting more time. We want to expand beyond just Star Trek, which will bring in more people. So yay for us, and help distribute information about Star Trek Attack Wing, which gets more players, so that's yay for us, too.
Yeah, I think once we expand, guys, I think we may do an hour on Attack Wing and an hour on Battlestar Galactica or the new Star Wars movie, or maybe we'll do Axanar, but we'll come up with something, so don't worry about that. And we're always going to have free stuff to give away. I do have some planets and asteroids. There was a company that I posted that made mats, play mats, and the guy sent me some planets and asteroids to give away on the show, but I just ran out of time and couldn't do it, so we have those for next time. He sent them out so that everybody can see what the fabric looks like. It's the exact same stuff that the mats are made of. So if you call in, this is going to be an easy one. You just call me and you win. Very simple. Maybe we'll ask you a trivia question just to make it so you have to work. But we'll keep it simple. So I have those as well, but we ran out of time. It's just half an hour is too quick to cover all this information. So I think we're going to be expanding that. We'll see how the USS Sutherland goes, but so far I've been getting a lot of interest in the Sutherland, so the Sutherland might push us over the edge, and we may be going to a longer show, not next week, but maybe the week after that, if the Sutherland goes as I'm hoping it goes. Also, if you guys want to shoot me a message on Facebook and let me know what ships you're interested in the most for the next raffle, we'll see what we can do for you. And the lady's telling me that we're down to 2 minutes, so I think we're done here, Dan. Unless there's anything else that you wanted to mention, you want to plug that plug your friend one more time before we go.
Yep, that's the person that's helping us out with getting some resources for these ships. He's a great guy, Alan. He's at Rockheads of Kenosha. That's www.rockheads.com. And again, all types of board games, strategy games, RPG games, flight games, comic books. The store is in an old firehouse. He has tons of material, and he's very cordial to help players out. And if worse comes to worse, contact me. Contact the board. I'll take a look, and I can get you something shipped out. If you absolutely need it, I can hook you up. So that's what I got.
Now, I might be I'll talk to Dan a little bit about this afterwards, but I might be adding Dan on to the Facebook page as an administrator if he's interested in doing that. That way you'll have access to all the information and the stuff that comes in the board so you can get back to the people if they ask questions or have concerns. You'll have access to them as well if that's something you want to do. I don't want to pressure you. I know we're on the air. But, because I did lose Ken. Ken's still around, but he's not as involved. And our co-host, John, that was with us doing the Attack Wing segments, also left. So I'm kind of doing it all on my own. Not that that's bad. I love it. You guys are great. Star Trek is awesome. But being how you're my co-host, I thought you might want to have a little bit more access with the board and the people if you're interested. You can just message me when the show is over. And the nice lady is telling me that we are out of time. Wow. Well, I want to say thank you to Dan for joining us, and I wanted to say thank you to Trace Peterson for popping into the chat room, and also thank you to Delta Angel Fire from State of the Federation. And with that, we have 30 seconds left. I'm going to cue the music. I'm going to cue our final music, and I just want to say thank you for joining me tonight, Dan. And we'll see you guys next Thursday at 6:30.
See you guys next week.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.